The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
You definitely don't want them to hear this one, that's for sure. No. Casual. Stay casual. Take out the bottles, everyone. I'm going right into it. You know why? Because there's barely enough room in this entire 2 hours to fit the laughter we are about to impart upon all of you. This includes those over eight. And listen, you might want to get the kids out of the room. We're going all the way here. Y2K plus 14. Here we go, into it. Don't worry, boys. There'll be room for everyone to talk. My name is Frank Cotolo. The Bard of Broadcasting now goes on the air, the cyber air, from coast to coast, to mountains, from sea to shining sea. But all we wear, the flibber to gibbets foursome. Hey, that works. The flibber to gibbet foursome. Right here. The motto of the show is shut up when the host is talking. And we'll get on with it with me. Oh boy, we're moving right along here. Y2K plus 14. Second show of the big new year. Bound to be better than last week. Here we go. Stay with us. It's a comedy cavalcade. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Othello? Did he use the race? Did he pull the race card? Anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, it's me. And boy, you can know I'm all excited, and momentarily, I will only be one quarter of the show, because with me, as usual, once a month, and thankfully, it's this particular day from another side of the world, I guess, certainly a warmer side of the world. Tom Savino, just say hello right now, Tom.
Hello. Okay. I'm in an undisclosed location.
Yes, we will not tell anyone where you are located right now. We wouldn't want...
But it's 64 degrees here, by the way.
64 degrees. We wouldn't want people parading in front of your house. What is that, a towel? You got a jacket on?
No, it's a hooded...
Oh. Okay, well, we'll get back to you, Mr. Flibbit and Gibbet.
If I were Florida and a black man, I'd be shot.
Comedy Cavalcade right here on this is Cotolo Chronicles. And this year has already started with bombastic variety. And it will continue because this Comedy Cavalcade, brought to you, of course, by SRM Media Works and all the fine people who put this stuff together, including the people who invented the internet and Steve Jobs and everybody and all the Gates and all the people who make the zeros and ones work correctly. And this is going to be great because representing the veteran joke tellers and the, actually, you know, the vaudeville of the world, Tom Savino, my former radio partner, and now actually my radio partner. You're not even former
That's
anymore.
Right.
Yeah, you're not even former anymore. And then behind me, shortly you will hear the voices of Mr. Jeremy Long, who you know. He's on the show every now and then to balance out the age situation, certainly not the intelligence situation. And we're going to meet Ben Noel, no H in his name. Ben Noel. I'm saying that right, aren't I?
You are saying that right.
He's actually here behind me. Ben Noel. Is that a name, Tom, that like can be like, is that like marquee?
Yeah. That sounds like something from the Wasteland Playhouse or something.
It's marquee friendly. And now Ben Noel. And now the Ben Knowles Show. All this stuff coming on. We got vibrating phones. Use your tweet. Tweet as you go. You know, do that. I was going to do that, but I just don't want to.
A live tweet?
Yeah, everybody just tweet. Everybody take out your phones. You got your stuff. And tweet things. Tell everybody to come over to this show. Go to 148.ca. If you're listening, well, wait a second. See, I always get this problem because we're one of the rare shows that broadcasts live on the internet. We have been, always will be. So if people are listening to this on another station, there are many other stations who replay this. And of course, you can archive it at juicetalkradio.com. And get all this stuff out of the way because we're just gonna move along really quickly. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened to those notes. I can't remember these things. When it comes to the schedules. Well, next week, you know what's happening next week? Ain't I going to believe this? Oh, there it is, right here. For gosh sakes. Next week, Steve Olsher will be here. And I don't want to tell you to listen because it's going to be a laugh a minute because Steve's very serious about inspiring people. I, on the other hand, am very serious about discouraging them. So it should be an interesting combination. Steve Olsher, whose new book, What Is Your What? And, of course, we'll be talking about the Spanish version, K.S. Usted K. And he'll be here. And he's serious. He's dead serious. He's not dead. He's dead serious. And he'll be here. We have a confirmation on January 23rd, Dr. Gary Popley, our resident psychologist, the man who actually knows more about Freud and Freudian behavior and everything, and he's going to be here. He's got a great sense of humor, and he hasn't been on all year. He's been on in a while, even last year. He will definitely be here. I'm so excited. He will definitely be here on the 23rd. There's still no word from the 30th. Any number of things can happen on the 30th, and what's the matter? The 30th? I got size behind me for the 30th?
No.
What?
I have ideas.
You have ideas. Okay, great. Well, submit them to the appropriate authorities. We go through the motions here. February 5th, I want to remind you, I'm on the John Matthews Show. And John Matthews, a conservative broadcaster and a conservative activist, somebody who diametrically opposed to everything, every living morsel of my body. And yet we get along somehow. And we're going to talk about something that we have in common in terms of left and right and middle or what have you. And so we're going to do that on his show on the 5th. And then our show is on the 6th. And we're going to continue the talk on the 6th. You know, John Matthews is out there in California. Tom,
he's also at an undisclosed location.
Yes, he's at an undisclosed location out there.
It just so happens to be California.
In California. Yeah, which is an undisclosed. Well, it's a big state. It could be anywhere, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So that's the John Matthews thing. And then February 13th, we're going to try to get Eva Moon on here and talk about really depressing things like women who get cancer and stuff. But wow. I don't know. What I mean is, uplifting.
You referred to him as a conservative activist. And yeah. I think that's an oxymoron, isn't it? You mean is a conservative reactivist?
Well, there's the first joke. Now, we remind everybody in the audience that you may write these jokes down. Anything you hear, pass it on. It's all free. There'll be no copyright infringements. Just steal them and move them on. Yeah, tomorrow you could be the hit of wherever you
write
work. Write them down and talk about them. Take these jokes with you. No, you know what? I say that, Tom, because I have this thing about, and I don't want to get into this to be a big conversation here. Sure. I got into it last week too because I just put both of my verbal fists down somebody's throat on the show last week who was talking about conservative stuff. And here's the deal. The deal is that gas bags. There's gas. They don't do anything. They just talk and complain about stuff. Okay, that's a very big part of the whole conservative talk radio thing. Okay. We just sit there and say, this is wrong, that's wrong, it should be this way, here's the Constitution, I put it in my pants, I love it, and then you're seeing, all this stuff.
Yeah, I get it, I get that. Yeah.
But I really, came down on this person. But John actually works with groups and tries to get people elected and tries to do things that are Constitution-based and stuff. So you got to respect him for the fact that he's not a gas bag, you say.
Yeah, he's a... Oh, I see. So he's using activist in that term. Okay.
Yeah, he's not passive.
He's active.
Yeah, he's not passive, blowhard.
No.
But they are.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that one exists, and I'm happy to hear that you two get along too. That's a good sign.
Maybe. You will, especially you being doing what you do, and trying to get people to sign things and do things on the liberal side. You will enjoy these shows. I'll make sure that you get some kind of link or something, and you can hear them even if you can't make it for them live. Okay?
Yeah.
I think you will enjoy it because we really do have something tremendously in common. I know you'll agree with. Oh my God! Everybody, stop for a second. The time is 9/11. Okay, now let's go on with it. I want to mention this before we get into it.
I can't hear Tom.
Why not?
Something's wrong with your speaker.
Where? Tom, talk.
Hello.
Hello?
Okay, I got to make him louder, all right? I think... Oh, wait, I'll make him louder from up here. Hold on, friends. With four all people right. here, you know what? Okay, I'll just make him a little louder.
Yeah, I graduated. Cum laude.
There we go.
Did you hear that one? Another joke just slipped through the... Did you hear?
Slipped through the proverbial crack.
I know. You people are going to have to listen real close, okay? Because anybody's bound to take the stage at any given time. Give us that one again, Tom, for those who missed it.
Yeah, I graduated summa cum laude.
Get it? Okay. Now, that takes care of what's happening through most of February or what have you. But here's what I want to mention about tonight's program. No, it's not a program. It's a show. I keep saying that, but it's not a program. If it was a program, we would know what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. We never know that. This is completely off the cuff, which is a phrase that we should have covered when we did our thing about phrases. And do you know how many phrases I thought about after that show? We could do like 10 shows on.
Me too.
Yeah. Things that people say, Tom.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Shakespeare show.
Yeah, the show about things we say and
every day. Yeah,
where they originate.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do
it. It could be a whole series, actually.
We're gonna do a series. We're announcing this right now. The series is called "What Did You Say?" and that it will follow Steve Olsher's new show. What is your what? And where that show will take place?
Where?
And how we'll do it? We'll never know. Geez, I hope my nose doesn't start bleeding. But anyway, I want to mention this to everyone out there listening right now, and that's something here. What we're going to do here in terms of comedy is comedy. We're going to tell jokes and do things and going to rap. We're going to have this like soccer game with the ball being the joke. We don't know what we're going to. That's just the idea. But here's what I want to say.
The joke ball.
And he said something great the other day by this guy. Did you ever see that kid who? God, now I don't know his name. You'll know his, you guys shout out his name. He's on the Opie and Anthony show, and he's a stand-up comedian, and his name is Noel Coward. No, it's Beanbag Jones. What's his name? He's a kid, and he does, you know him? The bald, little bald kid, Norton? Ed Norton something?
Norton?
Huh?
Jim Norton?
Jim Norton. Okay, Jim Norton, right? Mm-hmm. I was close.
I'm not too familiar with
it. Okay, well, Jim Norton said something, and I know he didn't make it up because there's no way he could be that original, and because there's no way. I mean, we all know we hear things from elsewhere. But he said something about comedy that I think is going to be the foundation of everything we do here, at least on this show. And that is, he said, look, you know, people get angry about making jokes about what have you. Did you see the recent thing, the Mitt Romney? They made a joke about Mitt on news shows about Mitt Romney. On his Christmas card, he had a picture of his family, and he had this adopted black baby that they adopted, and they put him in the picture, and they put mm-hmm. him on the Christmas card, and somebody on MSNBC thought it was funny, and said something, and it caused this big thing, and of course, then all the blowhard gas bags came on, and, you know, and everything, you know, it's just nutty stuff. But here was the point, and Ed Norton, what's his name?
Jim Norton.
Jim Norton said, there is an Ed Norton. He's an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big actor. He actually got to make out with Angelina Jolie in a movie.
Yeah.
I'll always admire him for that. Now.
Can we take that over again? Can we do that? Can we do that?
I wish I could do it once. Do it over again. Oh, but here's the point, and he says it, and he said it entirely true. He said, either everything is sacred or nothing is sacred. And that's it about humor. And comedy, and all I ever have to say, and anybody who's listened to this show through the years, and boy, have they been years. I know years we've been on. I know it feels like a century, but years we've been on. And you know that, in essence, I have, even as my age, as most people's ages do, increases through the years that I've been on this show, as I move on, everything seems to become less and less serious. So, I want to, that's what I want to say, that I realized today while I was thinking about doing the show, guys, I'm telling all of you right now, and then, believe me, we're all going to have a chance to talk. And that is that I realized that how, and Tom, you should know, you've been, you spent so many, so many hours with me in many, many different situations. I have spent way too much time in my life being serious.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it. Completely, absolutely had it. So I hope this inspires, that you and I, Tom, can inspire these young whippersnappers. That's right. You know what we're going to do, don't you? What are we going to do to whippersnappers?
I'm having a senior moment. Was there a bit we used to do with whippersnappers?
Well, we're going to do
a line or something.
We're going to snap their whippers.
Oh, we're going to snap their whippers, of course. These whippersnappers.
You want to take another slug of that bottle, Tom?
Yes.
That's not a senior moment, Tom. That's called a...
Maybe I'll...
was that a senior moment, Tom? You know, in Spanish, it's called the senior moment. Now listen,
moment.
My friends.
It has a whole different connotation.
We're not talking about connotation. Now we're taking... The mic will be passed around here. I'm going to introduce, first of all... someone who has Jeremy, hold on, because he's never been here. I want to introduce.
Nobody cares.
Because Tom doesn't even know him.
No,
he's not even in the camera.
No, he's not. You want to put your head right? Nobody knows, but Tom will be able to see him. Put your head right here. Do you mind if I touch your head, Ben?
No.
Here, this is Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you? Nice seeing you.
Oh,
okay, that's enough.
Okay. And for the rest of the show,
Ben.
Up until that moment, you were in an undisclosed location.
He's in undisclosed. Now he's out of frame, as we say. Ben, I want you to say hello, and then we're going to talk more.
Hey, guys, I'm Ben Knoll.
Listen to that. I'm Ben Knoll. He could have done the CBS Evening News. Uh-huh. Jeremy Long is with us. Tom, you know Jeremy?
Oh, yes. I enjoyed your winter... I think a lot of people enjoy that little video.
Yeah, Tom favorited one of my tweets, which also happened to be a Vine. You know, we make Vines, Frank. Mm-hmm. And it was on how much I hate winter. I'll show you later, but it's a good one. And Tom...
It's very good. A number of my followers retweeted it as well.
Great. I'm sure I will have a moment of hilarity with it.
Yeah, 6 seconds of hilarity.
Boy, six seconds. Now, Ben, let's all get acquainted in a second, because I only knew Ben from tweets and Facebook and Face Tweets and Tweetbook. So I'm going to just talk to him right now just for a second, and we'll find out a little bit about Ben, everyone out there here on Cotolo Chronicles. Ben Knoll. Now, let's get this spelling straight. K-N-O-L?
O-L, yep, one L.
Now, that sounds Dutch to me.
Oh, it's very, very Dutch.
Okay, so you're Dutch. You know, Tom and I come from a place that was founded by the Dutch, New York,
right.
And which was originally called New Amsterdam.
New Amsterdam. Oh, they smoke a lot of pot there.
You didn't know that? You sound surprised.
Oh, I'd think a lot of things happen in New York.
He didn't know. No, he didn't know that. See, the things we could teach these children.
We could teach these young whippersnappers and snap their whippers. We'll
snap their whippers and green their pastures before they know it. Ben, you live in the Pennsylvania area, correct?
Yes, I do. I live in Annville.
In Annville? Oh, okay. That's really not that far from here, is it?
No, it's very, very local.
And so that everyone can get a sense of your humor. And how old are you?
I just turned 21 a week and a half ago.
So we got two 21-year-olds. We got two guys right here, Tom, that are brand new to the adult world.
Yeah, my goodness.
Brand new to the adult world.
We'll never be adults.
Well, none of us will ever be adults way. Yeah.
I'm still working on that.
But let's face it, if things go as planned, okay, you should still be alive when we're both memories. And I want us to be good memories, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll try our best.
Hey, I wanted to tell Jeremy this, not for anything else. You know, I'm in a store the other day, Jeremy, and some guy, I don't even know, is your age?
John.
You know? Some kid.
Yeah, he's Ted. Yeah, I bumped
Tom, listen to this. I'm in a store, and some guy comes up to me, and the guy, he opens the door for me so I can go in and go, thank you, and I walk in to do what I'm going to do in the store.
It was at, mm-hmm.
Was at the Golden Banana.
Was it at the Golden Banana?
Yeah, it was at the Golden Banana. So I walk into the Golden Banana, and he's behind me, and he goes, excuse me, sir, sir. He goes, sir, excuse me, sir. And this kid behind me is talking to me. I went, yeah, what? You know, so he said, I know you. And it's like, I don't know. I must saw the kid from Adam. There's one. I don't know you from Adam.
We talked about that on the show.
We did?
Yeah.
Because he's the first man.
I don't remember, but we talked about it.
Okay, so he goes, hey, he says, yeah, he says, Jeremy told me all about you. You're Frank, right? And I said, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to say, what should I say? Yeah, I'm him, should I admit? Well, you don't know, the guy might have a concealed weapon.
Yeah, sure.
Or, you know, he might be my assassin.
At the Golden Banana, anything could happen.
Yeah, he might be after me. And he says, yeah, I said, Jeremy told me a lot about you. And I said, I'm all very sorry to disappoint you. I'll never live up to any of it. But I said, have a good day and a good life if I never see you again. And I went off to my but this happens now and then. I was in Giant a couple of weeks ago. And this old couple, Tom. I mean.
An old couple. Wow.
Well, I mean, they could be our age, but they were old. You know what I mean?
Well, that's pretty old.
I'm online and they're behind me and they go, hey, Frank, how are you? Just like that. What? I went.
And you didn't know, you don't know them?
I had no idea. And I turned around and I said, hi, because you never want to tell, you know, right?
I know.
You don't ever want to say, who the frick are you, you know?
Yeah, it's like a game of Wheel of Fortune goes through your head, right? It's Jay, can I buy a vowel?
except I didn't have this slutty blonde next to me.
Right.
Yeah, but the Wheel of Fortune metaphor.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But you didn't know these people at all, though.
No, I didn't, but I talked to them to try to find out. I'm going, yeah, how are you doing? Oh, we're okay, but the wife is going to have to get a hip operation, and he's telling me these things.
Who cares?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's too bad. I said, you know, that's really, I said, let me make room for your items, you know, and put the item, and then he finally said, well, you know, I don't know if we'll be able to make it to St. Thomas next time. And I go, oh my goodness. These people were in the audience at St. Thomas Roasted.
Oh.
And I don't remember anybody.
Well, the young whippersnapper from the Golden Banana, that was John, and he texted me and said, hey, I bumped into your friend Frank. That's how I know.
Oh.
Did you, do you know John?
Never met John, I don't think so.
No, you don't know John.
No? Is he a funny guy?
He has some potential, sure.
He has some potential?
Yeah!
well, excuse the hell out of me.
Well,
what was I saying?
We're talking about the Golden Banana.
Tom doesn't know about the Golden Banana. Tom has to watch the documentary, then he'll know all about the Golden Banana.
Yes, Tom. Yeah, if Tom wants to, you know, lose a couple of hours of his life, you can watch it in sections.
Tom,
a couple of hours. Speaking of a couple of hours, yeah. I just got back. It sounds like, oh boy, I just got back from New York. Boy, my arm's tired.
No. You know what? You just flew in from New York. Boy, my arm's tired.
You have to say
he's getting old, isn't he?
It's an alcohol.
It's the alcohol.
It makes no sense if you don't say fly.
That's right.
Tom's just chugging a bottle.
I just walked in from outside. Boy, is my pancreas yellow.
Yeah, but you may as well say anything if you don't say fly.
Tom's like, I need my medicine.
Because I forgot what I was... Oh, yeah, I just got back from watching Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, it was like 3 hours, that movie.
Yeah, how was it?
Did you like it?
It was long. It was, remarkably, didn't seem that long. But it was, anyway, I was just commenting.
You know what
it
you
was
just did?
Well, a lot to say for...
Now, wait a second. You just
point
did...
about your documentary.
Wait, let's talk about this for a second. You just did... Wait, Ben, just tell us when you got to say something. All right, you all know Ben now. But you just brought up something that's been in my craw. There's a craw, huh? Where'd that go? Where'd that come from?
What's
craw.
What's
is that
craw?
Dutch?
Sounds Dutch.
Doesn't it?
Everything's Dutch.
Everything's Dutch. Except the Czech. Right?
Czech.
You know? Okay. Listen, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired. Now, we just had an incredible cold wave, and right? We had ice storms and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of this. And we've talked about this too, Tom, I think, too. It's 5 degrees out. But it feels like 31 below. I can't stand this. And now, last week, me and my son, Jack, sat, and I can't say, we were talking and drinking. He was drinking a regular beverage. He's not 21 yet. A regular beverage.
Yeah, he will be soon, though, right? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just, you know.
Ray's got...
No, but here's the point. We will, and you know, I'm saying, we're talking about how sickening it is to say, you know, right? It's 10 degrees out, but it feels like, you know this, right, Ben?
Yeah, that wind chill cuts you to the bone.
Do they do that in, it's not Dutchland. What do they call it? What is Dutchland? Holland.
Holland. Technically the Netherlands. Holland is like a region.
And that other place, they call, the only, one of the rare places that begins with the Hague.
The Hague.
The Hague.
Yeah, isn't The Hague near...
What about The Bronx?
The Bronx is another one. The Hague, The Bronx. There's not many does.
No. Yeah. That's too interesting. Many. But no, that's one not says I'm going to Bronx.
I'm not going to the New York, the Los right. Angeles.
The Greenland.
The Iceland.
Yeah.
The Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania, the right. Russia. But here's it. So we're talking about how if you take that concept of it feels like... You reminded me of this, Tom, by saying that. I just watched a movie. It was 2 hours long, but it felt like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Right? And you could do that with anything, right?
The Cotolo, yeah. Frank Cotolo documentary is 4 hours long, but feels like a century.
A century? Oh, I thought you were gonna say a half hour. That would be better promotion.
Does it? Well, no. Okay, let's promote it for a minute.
Yeah, because you could go the other way, can't you?
Yeah.
You can't.
Not
Comedy Cavalcade, here we are. That's another CC. Comedy Cavalcade.
What a segue.
Here at Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man whose name adorns the title of the show. With me is Tom Savino. Ben Knoll. Is that? You didn't short that, did you?
Oh, no. I think eventually they just chopped off an L.
Because you know, you could be. If it's too long, you can make it Ben.
Ben.
Just the cat. Everyone will think he's Asian.
You can't shorten Jeremy's name. You can't shorten it. You should, though. You know why?
Why?
It's long. Okay. Here we are on the Comedy Cavalcade. I haven't prepared any of this stuff. You guys, Lord, I'm trying to get you into the beat, into the mode.
Take a moment and talk about the documentary.
Okay, let's take a moment.
Because I don't it is for sale now.
Okay, here, you talk about it. Okay. Just don't put your mic too close because you'll... You, and let other people talk. Comedy Cavalcade! You know why? It is so funny. I'm telling you, it is so funny here.
Everybody's laughing.
Everyone's...
They've been quiet this whole time. And now they're laughing all the time.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, we'll keep... They'll be laughing throughout the show.
Every now and then. What do you want... Oh.
You can talk from there.
Okay.
You don't have to lean over.
The Frank Cotolo documentary is...
what did I tell you about volume?
What? I'm talking in the volume.
Hold on to it tight now. Good.
Yeah.
Me and Ben we're going to play a little blackjack over here.
The Frank Cotolo documentary is now available on DVD. And it is a two-parter. It's three discs. Disc 1 is part 1, disc 2 is part 2, disc 3 is bonus features. If you would like a copy of this, please email winstonsimmonsproductions@gmail.com.
Winston Simmons Productions.
Very good.
We'll do it.
Winston Simmons Productions, you say.
Tom, you don't...
Winston Simmons Productions.
I think he wins. Ben Knoll wins. He said it the best. Say this, Ben, and that's the CBS Evening News for tonight.
And that's the CBS Evening News for tonight.
I'm telling you.
Say this. In a world.
In a world.
It's good. That's good. And it's not funny, although some people find it funny. Okay.
Our studio audience loves it.
That studio audience was formerly from the Soupy Sales Show, I think.
Isn't it amazing how we could drop names like that and so many people don't know what we're talking about? You know Soupy?
After I said
I don't
that,
know Soupy.
Oh my God.
Listen to this. Hey,
nobody's going to know that.
Yeah, Ben doesn't know Soupy Sales.
Soupy!
I don't know Soupy.
See? And we have YouTube. Don't you? Aren't you? Can't, well, nobody told you to.
Soupy Sales.
Let's ask Ben something. Wait. Okay. Thank anybody.
He's got a crush on Frankenstein. Okay.
Okay. Winston Simmons. Do the mouse, yeah. Remember that? Let's do the mouse, yeah.
Wow, I forgot that. Yeah,
yeah, that was a hit. That was a hit from Soupy Sales.
That monster is divine. She said she'll be my Valentine if I had a stiff and jerky walk, if I only moaned instead of talk.
Did you put that in the act yet?
Very good.
That's good.
That's Soupy.
That's Soupy Sales?
Yeah, My Baby's Got a Crush on Frankenstein by Soupy Sales.
You've seen that? There's one I don't even know. I guess that was later on.
I didn't know about that.
In his life. Ben, so then tell us. Tell us a little about you and comedy. What where does this come? Well, you're a class clown. Were you the class sibling? Were you the clown sibling? Were you the kid who came out feet first instead of head first? What did like the moment you were born, everyone laughed. Did the doctor slap you before? I'm going through everything possible.
He slapped his mom.
Hold the microphone. Here's Ben to tell us a bit about how his connection to comedy.
I popped out head first, and the first thing that came out of my mouth wasn't a scream. It was exactly what I shouldn't have said, which has always been my flaw. I would always say it during class, things like that, get in trouble.
So you were talking the minute you came, the second you came out?
The second I came out.
So
never shut up since.
Your mother must have been playing tapes while she was pregnant.
Oh, God, she was horrified.
That's
it? That's the first thing you said.
What did you say?
Everything that I shouldn't post on Facebook, I post on Twitter. That is exactly where my humor ends up.
Like the Iron Sheik, right?
Yeah, exactly like the Iron Sheik.
So you don't want to say what you don't want to say it? Are you afraid to say it because you think there's no censoring or anything here, so you could say it. We have parental guidance.
I don't post fuck on Facebook.
You don't post? Okay, so
yeah.
I don't blame you. And neither does Jen Sosquowski. What's his name? Janowski? Who invented that crap?
Who? Oh.
What's his name?
Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg,
yeah. Why did I say it? I have this thing when I forget a name. Tom knows this.
You go the opposite direction.
No, I just start saying name, because every name has a rhythm, and I just start saying names. Eventually, I find it when I can't remember, because I just, every name has a rhythm. So if you're like Ben Noll, that's easy. That's like Ben-Hur.
Yeah, it is Ben-Hur.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's easy. Dun dun. So you're dun 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 dun, and you are
Jeremy Long.
Dun 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 dun. Tom Tom here. Dun dun dun.
No, it's just right? Dun dun dun
dun dun dun. No, dun dun dun. Jeremy. Jeremy. Dun dun dun.
I said. Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you guess so. Dun dun dun. Right.
Dun dun dun.
You have a middle. Ben, do you have a? You know, we all. Do you have a middle name?
Michael. Michael. Benjamin Michael.
Tom, he has the same middle name as I.
Michael.
And I.
I only hear that.
Wait a second, you're a Michael too?
I'm
a Michael, you're a Michael. Tom's not. What are you, Tom?
I'm a Joseph.
Actually, I'm a Joseph too. I have two middle names.
Two middle names?
I didn't realize that.
I have a Frank Joseph, and then my confirmation name was Michael. So, but I threw out Joseph.
Mine's
on all my legal documents.
Mine's Michael Duncan.
My mother probably picked it up and gave it to me.
Michael Duncan.
Yes, she did.
From the trash.
Michael is my actual middle name, and then Duncan was my mother's maiden name, which she attached on as my second middle name. So it's Jeremy Michael Duncan Long.
Duncan. You only have a Michael?
Just Michael.
It's a Shakespearean.
Plain Michael.
The Shakespearean.
Yes, that's right. That's just a Shakespearean. Where do you get... Is Ben short for Benjamin?
Ben short for Benjamin. Benjamin Michael only comes out when I swear at home.
Okay, do you know the Ben joke?
The Ben joke, no.
Yeah, Ben, you know Ben Dover?
Oh, I do know
you
Ben
know
Dover.
You know that one.
Yep.
He knows that one.
Oh, I say that's my favorite.
And you mentioned Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur over.
Ben-Hur over. Did you hear that one, audience?
A semi-delayed reaction from the studio.
Well, I didn't hear it because I was passing the mic around. Tell us a little bit more about... jokes and comedy and who you liked or what have you.
Ever since I was little, I always thought...
You're not so big now, I might add.
Oh, no.
But go ahead.
I always thought inappropriate jokes were fun. Just anything that was a... Yeah, like sniffing markers. I thought sniffing markers was hysterical just because my parents would yell at me. If I would get in trouble for it, I would do it or say it. That was always kind of the driving force.
So you didn't even have an audience. You went for the negative... response. That was funny.
Kind of. I just went right from the throat. I always thought it was funny. Then I learned that there's a thing called taste. So it kind of gave me something to excel to destroy.
How old are you at that point? When you discovered taste?
12 or 13.
old enough where I should have known better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And who are you? Who influences you? Everyone gets influenced. You watch someone. You watch a number of people. What happened?
Probably the original cast of SNL. Actually, I used to just watch SNL all the time.
Do you know, Tom? Do you hear this? The original cast.
Wow. Of SNL.
Now let's see if he knows. Yeah. You talking about the original cast? Go ahead. Who?
I wouldn't be able to tell you all the names of the original cast.
Well, who? Tell you some.
I really liked Jesus Christ.
He wasn't on.
Jesus.
Classic.
The Bible.
That was Prius.
Okay. Go ahead. Who did you like?
John Belushi, actually.
John Belushi. Yeah,
John Belushi was funny.
He died at the Chateau Marmont, right, Tom?
Yes, he did.
I have this thing. I know where people died and how they died. It's just something I got. Go ahead.
Same age and reason as Chris Farley.
He died at the hotel. No, it was a hotel, I think. But go ahead. No, he knows. He's right. But you know, he was on a number of seasons, John Belushi, right?
Yeah, but he was one of the originals. My favorite original is Steve Martin.
Steve Martin was not a member of the cast.
Yeah.
No, he was not. Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. You want to bet, Tom?
He wasn't.
He wasn't, see?
Well,
never.
The only host.
Chevy Chase. Well, Chevy Chase was an original, wasn't he?
Chevy Chase was only on for one season? Did you know that?
Yeah.
One season? No way.
Yes, whoa. Check it. Go to your internet and check it on Wiki Poo or whatever. Yeah, he was only on one season. Isn't that something? People think he was on for so long. He's on one season.
Who are we forgetting?
You're forgetting a number of people. You're forgetting Gilda Radner, if you want to talk about women.
Oh, yeah. Gilda Radner.
Bill Murray didn't come on until the second season. He took Chevy Chase's place.
What about Martin
Chevy
Short?
Chase's places.
Was he on in the first season, Martin Short?
No. Martin Short came way later.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
How about that Garrett Morris?
Wow, I completely forgot about Garrett Morris,
our
actually.
Top story, Jesus.
That's right. So you started watching that, and who? Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd, yep. Jane, you ignorant slut.
Do you know Dan Aykroyd recently? Jane Curtin, that's right. Dan Aykroyd recently admitted that he has. He's not autistic. He's got one of these things. What was it?
I don't remember what it was, but I know what you're talking about.
One of those.
Must have been memory loss.
He can't even remember.
I don't know what it was, but he said he's struggled with these diseases all his life.
When I met him, he told me about that.
I thought it was just his acting. But
that's terrible.
Nothing's terrible, remember? Everybody can get... Okay, so those guys... Oh, so in other words,
that's
Ben,
terrible.
All the guys you forgot influenced you.
All the guys I forgot influenced me.
Did that make you go and watch movies and things? Did you study any comedy? Did you look at before Saturday Night Live, or did that just take you off into all contemporary stuff?
It kind of started me into just following actors, just seeing them perform on TV, then get into their entire film canon, which would lead me to other actors, which just influenced me liking movies. Oh, there we go.
That is not good.
That's not good.
See, my nose was bleeding, and this is really terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bad.
You want to see this, Tom? No. Here, take over the show for a second.
Fortunately, it's radio for everyone else, but I get to see it.
What happened?
What's up with you? Is that from the cold weather?
Yeah.
Or?
I'm sorry, I punched Frank in the chest and...
Look at this!
Ah! It's just ketchup! It's just ketchup, don't worry.
Go ahead.
We've been trying to catch up for a long time, and we just, you know, have a lot of catching up to do.
Are
you okay, Frank? Oh, he's gone.
He's walked away to...
Frank has been
disposed of.
He's actually left the show.
In the capable hands of the two 21-year-olds.
It would be like a historical radio moment when the Cotolo Chronicles is ended, or keeps going, but without Frank. In the name of Frank. In this top, in the name of Frank.
The show must go on.
Yes. No. What is all this bleeding about? What's causing this?
Well, Frank did a little too much cocaine before the show. Shit happens.
So I'm continuing actually watching The Wolf of Wall Street because that's what went on for 3 hours. There's a lot of cocaine snorting.
That one scene where he's speaking on the phone with the guy back at his firm, and between every single line, he was doing a line of cocaine. My girlfriend and I were the only two people in the audience laughing the entire time. Everyone else was sitting there.
Ben, I'm glad you mentioned that because the movie was actually a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be. I didn't really think that it was going to be funny, but there was a lot of funny things in it.
People were actually offended by it. They're actually... instead of laughing at the characters and with them, which is what you're supposed to do, they were just horrified. They were horrified of these characters.
Yeah.
So funny.
I mean, I understand how people could not like these characters, but on the other hand, they were so pathetically funny that it was funny. You know, they were kind of pathetic, but really a lot of funny things happening and saying a lot of. Great panter in that movie. It was really funny, I thought.
It's such amazing comedic talent. They had Jonah Hill.
Well, yeah.
Casted.
I heard somebody say that Scorsese invented a new kind of bromance between Jonah Hill and Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie.
Whoever said that, I think, had a very insightful comment because their chemistry was really great. And Jonah Hill was great. I saw a depth, even though it was, you know, it was comedic still, but it was a depth in acting that from him that I've never seen before. It was very good.
That's good.
That is very good. Have you seen the movie, Jerry?
I haven't watched it. I haven't seen it yet, no.
Go see it as soon as you can.
I was actually supposed to see it today. We're getting into the point of the show that nobody cares about. We're losing audience members at the drop of a hat. But I was supposed to see it today, and then plans fell through, so I didn't get to, actually. So it's kind of ironic that we're talking about it here, because I was supposed to see it this morning.
Go see it. The most Bacchic film of the year.
Okay.
You like that word, Jeremy?
Oh, Bacchic. Yeah, for sure.
That's a good word.
Comedy, guys. Yeah. Comedy cavalcade, okay?
See?
Comedy! It's about freaking review!
Speaking of Romney, that was, what, 20 minutes ago? You know, if he had been elected, he would have named Clint Eastwood the chairman of the board.
Dear sweet Jesus.
Now, see, that joke takes memory. Memory of things better forgotten, I think. Yeah.
Oh.
So we're here at the Cotola Chronicles.
Wait, our audience has something to say.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much.
Jeremy, how do you think Christmas at the Romney House went?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me, Ben, Noel?
I don't know. How much Xanax do you think was exchanged?
You know, a lot of people think that Romney was the first. He was not the first moron presidential candidate. There were others before him.
Christ, we elected George Bush.
Now anyway, we actually need the laugh track.
Now we move on to the racist portion of the show. What do you call a black pilot?
What?
A pilot. You're racist?
I like that. That's good. Yeah.
Can we get a, Frank, can we get a cricket soundtrack going on here?
Just be funny, all right?
Oh, God, whatever I say, you'd have to play cricket.
Well, Frank is bleeding. We will just be funny. But seriously, on a more serious note, why are you bleeding? What is it? Is it from the weather? Yeah, it could be so cold that you...
Deviated septum.
Oh.
It's called... Did you hear that? It's called near death, he said.
Oh.
Why?
Well.
Frank's getting existential.
People, if you're listening out there, and Frank Cotolo, you don't hear his voice, that's because he's dying at the moment. And this will be a first
this is
on...
What is this station called? I don't know.
148.ca, SRN1 Media Works.
SRN. This is probably the first. We might even get some a bump from this, like a Colbert bump. It'll be the Cotolo bump.
We're going to get some negative emails, that's for sure.
Yeah. We get negative emails. When people die on the show. People have died on the show before. I've died on the show numerous times.
Death is funny.
Including currently.
Death is easy. Comedy is hard.
Yes, who said that? Well, besides you, who said it just now?
Mahatma Gandhi.
Was he the one who said it?
No, that is not the one who said it.
Wait, okay, hold on a second. So, this is, for the regular viewers of this show, not viewers, regular listeners, this is probably pretty scary for them, because they're not used to hearing No Frank for more than, like, 1 minute.
Yeah. So, we're just totally stymied. We have no idea what to do without Frank Cotolo.
It's hard to do comedy when Frank's
Frank
over here
Cotolo
dying.
There. I know he's there, Frank Cotolo.
Why can't everybody tell the last joke they heard?
Okay, let's go around. Did you hear that, Jack. Tom? We're going to go around and tell the last joke that we heard, if you can remember it. We're going to start with Ben Knoll.
What about the last joke we told?
Okay, let's
just say it again.
When you tell a joke, you hear it.
You do hear it.
That's true.
Yeah,
true. Huh.
So we're within the guideline of the rules here. So even if it's our own joke, we could, we've heard it.
Yeah. We heard it. Well, we heard it at some point. And then we're hearing it again when we tell it. Right?
That's right. Yes, yeah.
So what's the last joke you either heard or told, Tom?
I'm trying to remember. The last one I heard was, actually it was a tweet. This young lady tweeted that she wondered, actually her tweet was pretty funny just in and of itself. And she said she wondered why her clean underwear smelled like marijuana. And since it was yesterday when she said that, I said, maybe because it's hemp day?
Oh. That is classic Tom.
She liked it. I don't know. I don't know. Let's hear one from Ben.
Yeah, Ben.
I actually read an awesome witticism on Twitter. It said, every zoo is a petting zoo if you man the fuck up.
Oh. That is both comical and inspirational.
What about you, Jeremy? You got one?
I gotta be honest here, and the last joke that I actually remember telling was earlier this week. I told somebody who had never heard it before the aristocrats joke.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know.
You should tell that one, Jeremy.
You should tell that one, Jeremy.
You know all about the aristocrats, don't you, Tom?
I know everything about them. I only saying that because I'm on the radio, because I don't know anything about them.
Oh, you don't?
No. You want to tell me about them?
Well, I'll tell you about them. I won't tell you about the... I won't... We'll talk about the joke. Because that's important to a Comedy Cavalcade episode, talking about...
Yeah, talk about it. He'll remember it.
Okay. Frank knows about it, and he says you'll remember it if we talk about it.
Okay, I probably will.
So it's a commonly known joke. There's even a documentary out there about it. It's known mainly in the industry by the comic professionals, more so than actually, like, it's not really commonly told at, like, a comedy show or anything like that. It's more of a joke that all comics know and tell amongst themselves, more so. And, basically, it has a beginning and end that you must memorize, and then you fill in the middle with you improv it pretty much every time you tell it. So the beginning goes: a family walked into a talent agent's office, and they say, the dad says, "Well, okay, well, boy, do we have an act for you?" And the talent agent says, "Okay, well, let me hear about the act, or show me." And that at that point is when you start improvising. And basically, Tom, you
you come up with the most vile, vulgar, disgusting stuff you can come up with that this family does with one another and to one another. Mm-hmm. And it can go on for however long you would like. And it concludes with however you want to end it. And then the finishing line is that the talent agent says, that's something else. You know, that's one hell of an act you got there. What do you guys call yourselves? And the dad says, we call ourselves the Aristocrats.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh.
It's not entirely the most funny joke, in my personal opinion, but it is known amongst comics of all age groups across the nation. And, you know, it originated way back when, and of course the comedic purpose of it is that a whole ratio between the vulgar to the name of the Aristocrats at the end.
I get the concept.
But,
I get that concept.
I know for a fact
I
that...
I think we may have killed it by... talking by totally about. Explaining the whole process, but I guess there's no other way.
I know back in the day...
Give us an example.
Chevy...
you know, you could do it backwards, too.
Can you?
Yeah.
Do you want... We're going to do an example.
Okay, I'm going to try to get through this here now.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, Yeah.
I know back in the day, Chevy Chase used to hold competitions. He'd invite a bunch of his comedy friends over, and they would see who could do the longest Aristocrats joke.
If you get a chance to see the... who was it? Who's... Penn Jillian. Penn Jillian. Did a wonderful documentary. Get it on Netflix or Bookflix or...
About the Aristocrats?
Yeah, it's called the Aristocrats, and he has a cavalcade of comedians on it.
By the way, I wanted to comment. I haven't heard the word cavalcade in I can't even tell you how many years. That's a great word,
isn't it? Yeah, cavalcade of blood cells.
I was telling everybody that tonight's show is called.
Yeah, Cavalcade Comedy Cotolo Chronicles. That's when, by the way, thank you guys for taking over there for a second, and you may have to do it again, I don't know, but the point is this, I'll say, since no one, I mean, you did mention my name, but you didn't say, this is Cotolo Chronicles.
We're talking about you the whole time.
Not me. I mean, this is Cotolo, you gotta...
Station break?
You gotta do the break there, because we're coming up on the end of the first hour. Ben Knowles with us, Jeremy Long, and of course, Tom Savino, and, a lot of Cotolo DNA going on around here. you know, this is live. This is live radio. People don't do this anymore.
Yeah.
This is live stuff.
So there's never been a non-air death like this one.
No. I'm going to be fine. This happens. The temperature, the weather, the dryness, all the stuff. It's really not important. It's adversity, and I'm going to get through it by doing the show as I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
If I leave it, I leave it in good hands. I leave it in the hands of fellow people who know how to make people laugh. They know how to make people laugh. The last joke I heard was the last.
What was the last one you heard from?
Well, it's one I told on New Year's Eve. Remember the joke I told when we were on stage? Me and Jack were on stage. We told the joke. Because I had to keep my hands warm. It was so cold. We played outside.
I can't imagine how you could play the guitar in that weather. Seriously.
Tom, it was horrible. Ooh, I mean, by the last... Oh, it was terrible. I was looking. I was doing it by sight. My hands were literally frozen. I was doing it by sight. But
I can imagine, yeah.
After one song, I actually told the people. I said, I got to put my hands in my pocket. So I talked to the crowd for a while. And I told them a joke, and this is the joke I heard, which is, what's the difference between God and Bono?
What is the difference between God and Bono?
Well, God doesn't walk around Ireland claiming he's Bono. Huh? Did you get that one, Tom?
Well, I'm to the laugh track.
Took me so
yo, Hig Ben.
Hey, guys.
More blood.
Hey, guys.
Hi, this is Cotolo Chronicles. Frank has stepped away again, Tom.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, here.
Well, I hope he's well. And you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles on some station, 148.CASNR? SNR?
You're almost there.
I got the SNRs correct?
No, no, no. You got 148.CA correct.
Oh, okay. What's the rest of it? I don't know.
SRN1.
SRN1. SRN1.
Yeah.
And every Thursday night from 9 to 11 Eastern Time?
We are on every Thursday night from 9 right. to...
Go ahead, Tony John, don't look at me!
Hey, you know, that guy Bono is from... He's over there. He's over the pond, right?
He is. He's over the pond.
Yeah. He's on the other side of the pond or something. Because no matter what nationality you are, if you drink too much water, you're European, everybody. No, but seriously.
But seriously, folks.
But seriously, folks.
Yeah.
Go on. Okay. He'll be back. What?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, okay, I'll say something. hopefully something funny. Between the Sheets is a story of breakup. That no, forget, this is like the worst joke ever. Never mind.
let's talk about this. What's
oh,
the...
Oh, yes, Ben, please.
What's the What's the process? What's to go through this? Okay, during the last almost near death experience with Frank when we had to take over just a few minutes ago,
yeah,
we discussed what the last joke we heard was. Now let's discuss our process of coming up with any kind of humorous bit, whether it's a joke or a humorous Facebook or Twitter post. What's your process there, Tom?
Well, for me, a lot of my jokes are based on words, mm-hmm. or language concepts. So I'll hear something or hear a phrase or see a word that the other meaning of it hits me, and then I say, oh wait, I can get a joke out of that.
Yeah.
That's how it works for me, because a lot of my jokes are language-based jokes.
Yes, I can tell that.
What about you, Ben?
Twitter post. What about you, Ben?
I go with words that make me laugh. Words that aren't necessarily inappropriate, but actually sound funny to me. And if they get a reaction out of people, like if they have a negative social context, then I'll use them anyway, just because other people are... react to those words, like the word moist.
Moist.
Moist is mm-hmm. just a funny word.
That's a good one.
Moist.
Mm. Moist.
Ben, have you found, we talked about this recently too, Jeremy, I have found that there are words like that, that no matter in what context you put them, people will laugh.
That's
like
true.
Twerk.
Twerk.
Oh, I have.
A lot of laughs from twerk.
Especially if you don't, especially if you use that one in like the wrong context or setting.
Just replace any time you would say work with twerk and it's hysterical.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Like everybody's twerking for the weekend.
See, that's interesting when you say replace work with twerk, because another one of those kind of things from back in the day was people would always say add in bed to the end of anything you said, and it's just automatically funny.
There was and still is that under the same concept, Jeremy. That's what she said.
Yeah.
Ending to things,
Mm-hmm. That's used often. Still.
That's what she said.
We're so, here on Cotolo Chronicles. I'm only doing this because Frank told me. We're here on Cotolo Chronicles. It is good time to do it, because it is the top of the hour. We're now entering into hour two of Cotola Chronicles with your host, Frank Cotola, who is currently indisposed. I am the sometimes co-host, Jeremy Long. We're here with Tom Savino, who's on once a month, and newcomer Ben Knoll is here as well. And we're talking about jokes. This is a Comedy Cavalcade episode. We were sharing... what were we doing?
We were sharing kind of the way we form jokes, sure, or yeah, the way jokes are made.
Who... Okay, and you... Yeah.
Did I... Jeremy, actually, yeah, that reminds me. You know that in-bed thing works after fortune cookies.
Yeah, that was when it... That's where I originated from, I think.
Did I ever tell you the best in-bed fortune cookie I ever got?
No, tell us and the audience, please.
Let's hear.
It's... A grown man does not ignore the simplicity of a child.
In bed.
Open that up in front of my family and...
I like that.
Yep, that one stuck.
So,
how do you form jokes, Jeremy?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. A lot of my humor, whether it's posts on social media or if I'm writing a joke for my stand-up act, a lot of it is based on... how can I phrase this without sounding like a creep? Watching people and their mannerisms and like just common everyday occurrences that people do, or things that I notice that most people wouldn't really consider funny, but I like to take normal everyday things and find the humor in them, and so that's what my humor is usually based off of.
You have one too?
Yeah. That?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Also, we were talking about twerking before, and I just was reading that they're going to have adult-only commuter trains, and they're offering pole dancers in each car, advancing the idea, I've been twerking on the railroad.
Oh, my God. I love it. So do they. Oh, that was a mild.
Thank you. That was a mild one.
We had
like two claps.
So a man, a woman, and a child, and a boy, a little boy and a little girl walk into an agent's office.
Oh, here we go.
This is how it starts.
I'm going to do it
with all expletive deletives because I really don't want to get that.
Well, you could do it with
I could do
expletives.
With some stuff. I could say, okay,
fine,
Tom.
Just make it short.
I'll make it short. I won't make it long. But the idea... with the aristocrats, of course, is to make it as long and dirty and filthy as possible. But I'll give you an idea by doing it without... And maybe somebody's already done it this way anyway. Done it, you know, because it would be funny. I'll do it, like, straight. So a woman and a man walk in with their... And they say, this is my son, this is my daughter. Oh, okay, and what do you do? Well, we have an act. And the agent goes, okay, I'd like to... Do you want to do an audition? Want to see the act? So the little boy takes out a bucket... And he puts it on the floor, and the mother and the father start hitting each other in the chest, and the little girl hits the boy in the chest. They all vomit into the bucket. They take the bucket. And the agent's watching. They say, take the bucket. And out of their pockets, they take four large ladles. And because they have on that pocket. And they take and they start eating the vomit, okay? And as they're eating the vomit, they're getting so sick looking at it, you know, that they vomit again. But this time... inside the shirt of the other person. So the father vomits inside the blouse of the mother. The mother vomits inside the blouse of the father. And the kids just open their mouths and take the drippings. At that point, the father takes off his pants and he sits on the bucket bare-assed, okay? And he does his business.
Now, and you're cleaning this up.
Yes,
actually.
I am.
Yeah.
And so he does his business there. Now, the wife, when he's done, he gets up. He walks across the room. He's not entirely finished, so he leaves a little trail, okay? And the, mother starts cleaning it up with her hands, okay?
I know, and the son is skiing around in it, and
the son is skiing around with it, and the little girl has all this time, and all this time she has hidden a half a loaf of bread, and she takes it out, and she starts making defecation sandwiches. And they all sit down. They all sit down and sing, "Wait till the sun shines, Nelly," and eat them. Now, at that point, the agent looks at them and he goes, "Well, that's one fascinating family you have there. What do you call this act?" To which the father says, "The Aristocrats."
And then they say, "Pass the Grey Poupon."
Tom put the capper on that one.
That was the most somehow clean yet dirty at the same time.
I managed to get away with that.
Exactly, you actually got away with that.
Gee, it was like vulgar, but not to the point where like it was.
It's almost funnier not to say the words, you know, to just kind of do the images and use real words, because there are real words for those disgusting things. Anyway, Tom, that's the idea is that comics, you know, tell one another. They try to out aristocrat themselves. Now, there's an opposite one. And I'll give you. You want to hear the opposite one?
Go for it. Yeah, why not?
Okay. Well, these four ladies come into an agent's office. Beautiful ladies. They are dressed to kill. They got sparkles and sequins and lace and everything. I know. That's great. I love this one. You can tell. And the agent goes, "Yes, can I help you?" And he says, "Well, me and my sisters have an act. And we'd like to audition for you." And the agent says, "Well, that's fine. You're fine-looking ladies. So go ahead." So they drag in a harp, a piano, a little piano, electric piano thing, a harp, a piano, violin, and a flute. Mm-hmm. And first the harp starts, and she starts, you know how hard a harp is to play. It's a very hard instrument, yeah. And she's playing these lovely harmonics. It's part of it's Mozart, part of it's Beethoven, anything. She's doing it all with her wonderful fingers. And then the flautist comes in. And she's doing intermittent eighth notes, going along with the beat of the rhythm that the sister on the, the sister on the harp, and then the piano. Nelly starts playing. All unbelievable, Tom. She doesn't even have to look, and she's doing the most difficult areas on the keys. She's playing everything. Unbelievable. In between the notes, and the harpist is still going, and then the violinist comes in and starts playing this Rachmaninoff stuff on all the, this really what counterpoint like you never heard before. Ever is this quartet absolutely unbelievably sonic love. It's unbelievable. Then they come to the end of this particular piece, and they just stand there. And the agent is like, I have never, ever heard anything like that, ever. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. What an act. What do you call yourselves? And one of them says, "The dirty, stinking, no good slut whores." that, my friend, it's exactly... You see, Tommy, they reversed it. It's very, I like that. Yes, I like the reverse. And of course,
slut.
Yeah, I know, and I could, and that could really be, you know, really disgusting. Exactly what when I first heard it, I didn't stop laughing for like a half hour in terms of what they called themselves. But that's what they called themselves. This is Cthulhu Chronicles. Here I'm back.
It's funny Frank's though. Back. Here, Frank,
because I am a good clotter.
It's funny. It's funny that you talk about reversing the Aristocrats joke and that you told that joke because recently, semi-recently, there's been the whole reversal of jokes in the form of anti-jokes, which is a whole new kind of humor.
Yeah, the anti-jokes. You could tell one, Ben.
Yeah, we were talking about
remember?
That some months ago.
I remember talking to Tom about that. So
Ben's going to tell a couple anti-jokes now, because he knows them. Mm-hmm.
What's worse than finding half worm in your apple?
Do we have to say what? Is that worse? It? Okay, what? Everybody go, what?
What is worse?
What?
The Holocaust.
Oh, it's just going to be a good one. We're ready.
It was the laugh. What? Hey,
go ahead, tell it. It's okay. We're on Cthulhu Chronicles here. Y2K Plus 14 in the second hour.
The way you segue sometimes.
So you don't know one. Or do you know what? You can't remember. He's got his band.
Rose are red, violets are blue. I have Alzheimer's. Cheese on toast.
Say the punchline again. Cheese, what is it?
Cheese on toast.
They didn't hear it the first time.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yes.
So an anti-joke is what, actually?
It's a joke where the punchline doesn't necessarily go along with the setup.
Yeah, we did when we did our joke show.
That was a while ago, though.
That this is not a joke show. This show isn't a joke. But, yeah, we did. Yeah,
I remember the one I was
thinking. Oh, he's got
of.
It now. Here it goes.
Why did the boy drop his ice cream cone?
Why?
Because he was hit by a bus.
So it's kind of an obvious. It's an obvious thing. Yeah, you're expecting a cute, clever thing, and it's obvious.
They take what you because with a normal joke, I'm assuming that's why it's called an anti joke. With a normal joke, you're expecting some clever, witty punchline. But instead, they just take whatever the obvious answer is and throw that. And then that's not what you're expecting with a joke.
So how is it, would this be funny. One that just... What do you call a kid who's stupid, slurs his words, walks funny, and can't understand anything in school?
What?
Retarded. Is that an anti-joke?
I guess, yeah. That...
Oh, my God.
Special needs.
Like, why did the Jew go to the grocery store?
Why?
Because he ran out of milk.
Tom, you want to give us one?
What, an anti-joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems pretty easy.
Yeah.
To write these babies.
Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. This is a joke that, okay, why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
Why?
To get to the other side.
Now that
isn't
is
that like the
yes,
is that the original anti-joke.
That could be the original anti-joke. You're right.
Sure.
Right.
It's almost subversive.
You know Pat McCormick, the very famous. Oh, do you guys know that name?
Pat McCormick.
No. Do you know the name Pat McCormick?
I do recognize that name.
Tom, you know, you remember Pat McCormick, the big guy?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was also, if you ever saw any of the movies, one of those movies with Burt Reynolds where he plays the driver, the guy on the driver.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What are those movies? Remember. He was in that with the. Anyway, he's been in that. But he was one of the. He was a real. He was a comedian, and he was a writer, and he was on along the Johnny Carson show. A lot of those crazy things in the Tonight Show and stuff forever. And he's passed on, but he told me one, and it was that one time. I don't even remember. There was no punchline. I don't think I ever heard the punchline. But he said, Why did the punk chicken cross the road? I know when I heard that, I just laughed. So I don't know like this idea of a chicken with those, you know, with something through its cheek.
A mohawk.
Yeah, the mohawk. It was so funny. I don't even know. Why did the punk chicken cross the road? You know, I don't even know. Is it possible to tell something that is so that you never get to the? I mean, it's just so funny. The punchline doesn't work. That's not an anti-joke. What is that? There's ones that are funnier than the punchline.
It's almost like an anti-joke.
Wow, that would be a joke then.
Yeah, it would be a joke. But
double negative.
Mathematically speaking.
Yeah. That's not fair. You're looking up jokes.
No.
Aren't you?
No.
You're looking up. Don't do that.
I'm not looking up jokes.
That looks bad. Where's your phone, Ben? Oh, it's
over
there.
Over here.
Well, don't take it out. Let Jeremy do his thing. Cthulhu Chronicles here, the comedy cavalcade edition. We should do this every once in a while, only without you guys. Anyway.
That'd be the...
Now, what was that?
That was the hardest Tom laugh the entire show.
I can always make him laugh. What was that anyway? The insult thing? You know, I used to love, I don't know, but do you know Ben? Do you know Don Rickles?
Don Rickles? No, I don't think so.
Wow, Tom, do you believe this? This man has got to do some studying. You got to go through the...
I'm a disappointing person.
Don is the king of insult humor.
I could never take my eyes off whenever he was on doing a show or roast or anything he did. It's just absolutely hilarious. And so many people who do politically incorrect material owe so much to this guy.
It's true.
You know, and I don't mean to put you on the spot with this.
I'm not at all.
You know what I mean? I don't mean to say this like, you don't know that guy.
Sure. Yeah, no.
Let's look at stand-up. Let's reverse it again then to stand-up. Tom and I worked with Steve Allen, remember?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I told him to button his coat.
And what what did he have for lunch? We had lunch with him. What did he have?
We did.
What do you
have? Chops.
Pork chops. We had Steve Allen ate pork chops, and we sat there talking to him about... And I had a book, had one of his books, and he signed it. He signed one of yours, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did,
That's worth a lot of money now, that book.
Yes. All of your laughter, not all of your tears. I have it somewhere.
I had his novel, The Wake, the serious book, and he signed that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what he wrote in mine?
What
did he write in yours, to ask you first? Maybe he wrote the same thing.
Well, I don't remember.
But
he signed it, Steve Allen.
Yeah. That was fortunate.
Thank goodness.
That was fortunate for us. But we had talked about seeing him because he did a Carnegie Hall Tonight Show. Remember we went, Tom?
Yes. Yeah.
And we were talking to him that we saw him. We went to Carnegie Hall. We had great seats. And do you know who we're talking about, Ben?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, he knows Steve Allen. Great. Ooh. So we're and he had all the old characters on the, you know, all the old guys, Ben, Louis Nye, and Tom Post, all the old guys who were on there. And he wrote in my book. So we talked about that, and then it was time to sign the book. He wrote, "Sorry, I missed you at Carnegie Hall." Steve Allen. And it was like great. So I give it, I show it to people. I go, you know, when I play a Comedy Hall, Steve Allen couldn't make it. Hey, what do you mean you played Cardi? Yeah. I said, Dad, look, here's the book. It says, "Sorry I missed you at..."
Cardi,
Actually, we did play. We played across the street, remember? What was the name of that?
Yes!
What was that?
Wow. Bringing up all these old memories.
Was that called?
I remember the event. It was across the street. I do not remember the name of the... Something Hall.
It was like Comedy Hall or something.
I remember...
Not comedy, Comedy Hall or something.
Comedy Hall.
Comedy?
You're right.
Yeah. What?
Oh, Comedy.
Comedy?
Comedy.
Comedy.
I remember Tom telling me about a place that you guys used to play where you had to move the pool table.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that there was a dance floor.
Pentangeles.
The Five Angels.
The Five Angels Club, Pentangeles in Staten Island.
I said, "We got the job. Hey, you guys, you want to play? That's pretty good. Yeah, we're gonna play audition. Yeah, that's pretty good. The thing is, though, you gotta move the pool thing, and then after the guys finish, but we'll just move it back, okay?"
Now, let me tell you something about that, though. I just mentioned that was like our Hamburg. In other words, we had to play. God, we played for hours after hour after hour after hour. There were like hardly any breaks. We played, God, unbelievably amount. We played things we didn't even know. Remember, we would go, "Hey, we know this one. Just follow me," and we would do it. And then we'd each take turns doing a song just to make up the time because you couldn't stop playing.
And we backed Johnny Thunder.
May he rest in peace. You know, he died.
I didn't know, but I. Not surprised.
Not surprised. Because most people do. All right, now let's have a moment of silence right now for Johnny Thunder. Okay.
All right.
Everyone will remember him because he did that famous hit. You remember his hit, Tom?
Here we go, loop de loop.
Remember that song?
Here we go, loop de la.
And he had a couple of other great songs, but they didn't make it. Only this crap one made it.
Only that one.
Yeah. We backed him. He actually played at the Five Angels. And this is like the worst part of Staten Island. It was right off the docks.
Yeah.
Right off the docks.
Yeah.
Played there for...
Although, but the one benefit, though, was that the
the hospital nearby. Not that in case we needed it, but also the nurses would come after their shift, and that was very good.
I enjoyed it.
Some benefits there.
I enjoyed it, and there was also a motorcycle gang in the area. Remember them?
Oh yes, yeah.
Tom just remembers the nurses.
Yeah, a motorcycle gang.
No, I remember the motorcycle gang.
Yeah, the breed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they literally one or two of them came into the bar with the motorcycle. One time they went, you know, they that was like that's like a cat peeing in his territory.
And then they breeded once they got in.
They breeded.
Yeah.
The breed.
The breed.
They were a tough bunch of guys. That was New York and back then in those days. But that was we learned to play so well. We, you know, because I would say, see how you could say things weird? We learned to play with one another so well. Now, you know, Tom, let me tell you something. Let me tell all you guys something. I have been watching, because I stay up really late at night, and there's this Antenna TV's channel. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have.
With the old thing. I've been watching the George Burns and Gracie Allen show in the middle of the show, two episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. And for you, Tom, it would only be like, I think it would be like midnight to one. For me, it's, what, 3 to 4, okay?
Oh, yeah? Now, it's a channel called Antenna TV?
Yeah, the Antenna channel.
Yeah.
Antenna TV, it's called. Yeah, and they play
weird channels.
They play a lot of the old ones, but I got to tell you something. I've really gotten back into George Burns and Gracie Allen, and I had often, and Tom knew this, because Tom knew my mom. We often joked about my mom, because she was kind of like Gracie Allen-ish, and she would say things that, you know, made sense to her. But I've been watching it lately, and I'm telling you, if you want to learn something, anyone out there, you two voices, you got to watch George Burns. You got to watch Gracie Allen. And Tom, you know, you could use this. Well, you're not going to teach school anymore, but you could have used this too with English, because you know Gracie Allen listens to people talk, and people talk. It's not that she's saying what she's saying is funny, but she comprehends what they're saying. But again, they think they're saying something clearly, but they're not. Example. The maid says to Gracie Allen, "Should I wash the curtains in the bedroom?" And Gracie Allen says, "Well, that's ridiculous. Why don't you wash them in the laundry room? We don't have a washing machine in the bedroom."
Those kinds of jokes are my favorite.
Right?
Like, those are my
over and over again in the show.
Do you remember in real life when my grandmother was hit by a car? And now you're probably saying, what the hell is he mentioning?
No, I do. I know it was going too fast that day, but go ahead.
So she was hit by a car,
yes.
And someone asked me. I did a Gracie Allen thing. I didn't mean to be funny, but...
But somebody asked you what? Like, tell
somebody said, where did she get hit? I said, by the side of the house. And they said, no, I mean, like, what, like, did she break anything? Did she break her hip?
Right. That's a tip. Everybody does that, but we all kind of know what the person means, so we don't do it. But the unbelievable, you've got to watch it, because misinterpretation is a great comedic tenet.
It's, you know what it is, Frank? It's based on ambiguity.
Yes, that's it. It's ambiguity.
It's ambiguity.
It's interesting, these getting hit by cars, because when my uncle got hit by a car, the vehicle was a Dodge.
See, now that's not a... I know, that's funny. See, but that's not what we're talking
that's
about.
Not an
well, I know. Joke, I was just doing car jokes.
And we can. We can do any... You can do it. It's a comedy cavalcade, for God's sake.
What's a dress?
You know, one of the biggest laughs I ever got.
Right. What? Go ahead.
Well, I was doing a very serious presentation. I was doing a serious presentation at school among teachers, I said a statistic, I said it ambiguously, and I said, for some reason, women like chocolate more than men.
That's ridiculous.
And everybody laughed. It became even funnier because I got flustered because I didn't mean it to be funny. And I said, I mean, and like I'm trying to correct myself. And it became even funnier because, you know, I said, no. I mean, like they like it on a greater degree.
And trying to get out of it became funnier for them, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, the other one, another Gracie Allen one was, and the maid said, in this particular episode, the maid said, I was looking for the can opener. And Gracie said, well, it's in the kitchen. And she says, well, I can't find it. She says, don't be ridiculous. You just came from the kitchen. It's that room with the... It's that room, right? Exactly.
Those are good, yeah.
And you know, there are four writers on that show, and they were always the same writers. One of them was George Burns' brother. I learned.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they had, and it wasn't like in the old days. I mean, it was, that, these are the old days. This is, you know, pioneering television. It's not like in, even in the 60s and 70s, these same guys wrote every episode, you know? It wasn't like, you know, this guy wrote an episode.
Yeah, that's right.
So they kind of got a, they got into their kind of groove.
And she, and the great thing about it, too, it's almost surrealistic in a way because it's a show within a show. See, they have a television show, and the characters of the television show are in the show, but George is always going aside, talking to the audience, talking about the show. And inside, they talk about the show. So it's really revolutionary, and I think you have to take it, with, you just have to look at it like it's a museum piece. And you know what is great, what I love about that kind of comedy is that it never, you just hear people laugh. They'll laugh now. They'll laugh today. It's timeless. There is nothing dated about that. And I think they might have caught on with this anti-joke stuff. I think that's going to be kind of timeless, don't you?
I think.
Yeah.
I think we should take a moment here to talk about the fact that earlier, or throughout the show, we've been talking about jokes, right? But
it's a comedy cavalcade.
Well, yeah, but hold on.
Okay.
There's a point.
What was that that I did? What was that? That was a little something. That was. They're all routines, aren't they? When you're interrupting, great.
That's what I'm trying to get at. We've been talking about jokes, but. Traditionally, at a stand-up show, you don't really hear jokes. You hear sets or routines or, you know what I mean?
It's, modern stand-up. That's modern stand-up, though, because in vaudeville...
Well, yeah, it's modern
in vaudeville,
stand-up.
You know,
I'm
when
talking about it within the last decade, 2 decades.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you went back to even watch the vaudeville... Because all these people in the 50s when on television all came from vaudeville. They came from movies, and all the movie people came from vaudeville. There's no more vaudeville except for the comedy places. Have you ever done stand-up, Ben?
Never done stand-up, no.
Do you want to, or what?
I don't know, actually. I wouldn't mind doing it, but my humor is a lot more like quick little one-liners that I just come up with on the
So that's an excuse for not doing stand-up, or what? I mean, you can do. I mean, if you've got a lot of jokes, you could do stand-up. You just figure out how you have to do it. Who's that guy? Stephen Wright?
Stephen Wright, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever really...
The driest...
Yeah, and he doesn't connect anything.
No, nothing connects.
No,
He just stands up and does these things that...
I bought some used... I bought some batteries, but they weren't included, so I had to buy them again.
Yeah, he takes things that everybody knows how to acquaint himself with, and
they... One of my favorites of his. I went to a restaurant that was open 24 hours... But I walked when I walked up to the door, the man was locking the door, and I said, "Wait a minute! I thought you were open 24 hours." He said, "Yeah, but not all in a row."
Jackie Gleason. Jackie
here's
Gleason.
One that's like that, actually. I fell asleep watching the Siesta Bowl.
That's the joke. See, Siesta, the Siesta Bowl. See, they don't know Spanish. They don't know what's talking about sleep.
Here in California, they're laughing in this undisclosed location here. They're laughing like crazy.
What?
California.
What? My landlord came to me. So the landlord comes to me and he says, "You got 3 days to pay the rent." I said, "Okay, I'll take Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day." See?
I remember an old classic one like that where a guy goes to the doctor's. It's interesting because a lot of those old jokes involve people going to the doctor's office.
Doctor's jokes are big, yeah.
But the guy goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Well, I have bad news. Two things. First of all, you have Alzheimer's, and also you have cancer." And he says, "Oh, well, thank God I don't have Alzheimer's."
Yeah, I know that one. That's a good, yeah. And that's technically, these jokes, you know, carry. Tom, tell the doctor jokes, you know. We used to tell them all the time. Tom Martin used to tell that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of doctor jokes.
Do you remember any of the doctor jokes we used to tell?
No.
Okay.
You wrote this one that we published, actually, about Dr. Cornelius. It's just a little...
Who's Dr.
Like
Cornelius?
An announcement. Oh. It was like an announcement. We used to, with a bit that we sold, like, upcoming events or something like that.
The doctor joke. Okay.
Dr. Cornelius so-and-so was coming to town. You don't remember?
No. Why don't you tell it? Because I have no idea.
Okay.
Unless you...
I hope I can remember it.
Oh.
Dr. Cornelius Schwartz, famous optometrist and professor of eye surgery, will be coming to New York to... He's taking his pupils out for lunch.
Doc. Now, remember, you can take these jokes and use them. Anyone can use them.
I remember one...
Doctor, it hurts when I go like this. Well, don't go like this.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay,
the guy walks into the doctor...
That's funny, doctor. I'm sorry I have this disease. Will I ever be able to play the piano again? He goes, well, of course. He goes, that's funny. I've never been able to play it before. Go ahead.
This guy walks in the doctor's office, but what's amazing about this man is that he has five penises. Not one, but five penises. He walks in, the doctor says, whoa, never in my 25 years of medicine have I ever seen anything like this. This is an anomaly. And how do your pants fit? He says, like a glove.
Your turn, Ben. Let's just go around the horn now.
We're doing doctor jokes.
Yeah, got any doctor jokes? Remember any doctor?
Well, doctor, I have this really big thing sitting on my chest, and I can't seem to, you know, get rid of it. Doctor says, well, just knock it off.
A guy goes into the doctor's office. The guy says to the doctor, Doc, I can't tell if my wife has TB or VD. And the doctor says, chase her around the room. If she coughs, fuck her.
Okay, I'm going to tell what I think was the funniest joke I ever heard. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, let's hear
it. I'm going to tell you that George Carlin said this joke. And I think he even wrote it in one of his books. Mm-hmm. When I heard this joke, I said, that is the funniest joke I ever heard. And I think it's because it has... What, are you going to try to trump me on this?
No, I'm just saying.
You think I know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what
you're talking about. Yeah, you do. Well, will you be honest with me after I'm done and tell a joke if you're right? And that's because I think it embodies everything. It embodies dirtiness. It embodies everything. Just
the only reason I think I know it is because I have all of his books. And I read
And you've memorized them all? Is that it?
Okay, go ahead.
Now, what was that? Was that obvious put down? What did I just do? Was that, I don't know. Here's the one. Here goes. It's George Carlin. May he rest in peace. We may never see another one like him. All right, Frank. Go on. Here it is. Well, I got AIDS from my dentist. It had nothing to do with the work he did in my mouth. He fucked me up the ass. Watch this. Wait, I want to remind everyone.
With only 30 minutes to go,
listen.
Here to remind you.
The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
See, the audience thinks that's funny.
I know it does. Anyway, I don't know what, but anytime I hear any, I just think that joke is so perfect. Anybody?
It's a very, very good joke.
Very good joke. We still on doctors? That's my ultimate doctor, because a dentist is a doctor.
Yeah.
Or is it, and there's a joke in there too, right? A dentist is a Jewish guy who couldn't be a doctor or something. It's one of those jokes. I don't even know.
I remember one. This isn't a doctor joke, though, but I remember
Is it
one.
Funny? Well, Will, you'll be the judge of it.
This old Jewish man, he's walking in the desert, and he stumbles upon a magic lamp. So he rubs it, and the genie comes out. And the genie says, you know, I'll grant you one wish. So the old Jewish man pulls out a map, and he points to a part in the map. He says, this is Saudi Arabia. There's been nothing but war and bloodshed in this area for many decades. Could you do something about this area? You know, clean it up. And the genie says, no, I'm sorry. Even with all of my power, I cannot do anything about that area. Is there perhaps another wish you have or something else I can do for you? And the old Jewish man says, well,
I've been married for 54 years, and never once has my wife given me a blowjob. Could you do that? Could you make her give me a blowjob just once? I'd like to have one just once. And the genie says, could I have another look at that map?
Somewhere along the way, I lost track of
it. Did you?
That. Yeah, I did. Was that in the telling, or did laughing. Ben is laughing? What did I miss, Ben? What did the old fellows here, the veterans of comedy, miss? What did we? Did you get that, Tom?
You know what? My hearing is so bad.
He's working on his hearing.
That's funnier than the joke.
When God asked me if I want to work, I said yes. But I thought he said twerk. Now I got to bust my ass instead of shaking it.
Can you now? Here's Ben to explain the blowjob joke.
I actually lost it too. I was laughing at Frank's reaction.
He was laughing at me, not laughing.
We're not going to even bother.
No, that brings up something very, very interesting. And especially you and Jeremy knows this too, because I know I've helped you bomb. In front of audience. I've helped you bomb.
Frank has helped me bomb. I remember, this is my favorite joke that Frank helped me with.
Here it goes.
That bombed.
Here it goes.
I was doing a musical. Okay, see, I do stand-up comedy, but this particular instance, it was a musical show where I was the MC, and I was given like 5 minutes or so in between each band.
Well, it wasn't even 5 minutes.
Maybe not even. That's to go time. Up and do a couple jokes, and like one or two, and then introduce the next band. And then whatever. So remember that, Frank?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got the set list ahead of time. So Frank and I were sat down. You know, we were working on stuff as these bands were playing. And we sat down, we're looking at the set list and trying to come up with jokes about the bands themselves. So, you know, so the jokes would fit the setting. And then, so one of the...
Go ahead, wait, I don't remember which one.
One of the, one of the group's names... It was two people. So instead of a band name, they just used their names, kind of like Simon and Garfunkel. And they were, I think, brother and sister. And their last name was Leave or Leaf, Leaves, something like that. And so at the very last second, the host of this event came up and told us that a third man was joining their group.
For that performance.
Just for that performance, and who cares what his name was, but they were having a third person. And so Frank told me to go up and say, the Leave siblings have so-and-so joining their group because they decided that they're branching out to become a trio. They're branching out to become a trio.
No one, and then people just sat there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? Good hell. Is that what, yeah, really?
Ram Jam and the Flim Flams. That was another one. There was this band.
There was this band that had this incredibly weird name.
They had the most ridiculous name. I don't even remember what they were called, but it was the most ridiculous name. And I went up there and said, next up is... So, whatever, you know, so-and-so, whatever that ridiculous
name was. Yeah, let's say the name was a Crack-A-Lack-A-Ding-Dong.
Next up is the Crack-A-Lack-A-Ding-Dongs. Thank God they changed their name. They used to be called Ram Jam and the Flim Flams. Here they are.
Nobody said a thing. Dead crickets. Gigantic prehistoric crickets.
Remember,
we just went over their heads, Tom, I think, huh?
I want to do stand-up. But I have this fear from the one time you and I did stand up.
Yes.
At that girls' high school.
We did once.
And we bombed so bad.
It's terrible. There is nothing more horrible than that. But that's, you know, that joke is like this. You know what that joke is based on? It's based on another joke where a guy's name is Etzenwawa. Etzenwawa. My name is Red. Retzenwawa, and I was going to be in a movie, and the agent said, you can't get into the movies with a name like Red Wetzenhauer, so I changed it. Now I'm Jim Retzenwawa. I can't believe you guys have never heard this joke. He said, change your name. Okay, now I'm Jim Retzenwawa. So, what is that?
I remember.
What?
Remember the other joke?
What?
one of the other bands, they were called the Shin... I think they were called the Shindigs or something like that. One of the other bands at this same performance. And you told me to go up and say, next up is the Shindigs. Fun fact about this group is that their lyrics have been translated into 14 different languages and no one can still understand them. Here they are.
You know, there's nothing worse than knowing you have decent material and just don't have the audience for it. And the strange thing about stand-up, too, is that, you know, you could get up. Now, Tom, we probably could have done that routine, as stupid as it might have been. We could have done that. Well, we could have done that to 10 different audiences and maybe 5 of them love it. And then, you know, and that's comedians have always told me. They say, like, you know, you got this killer, and that's why they become so insecure. You got this killer set. I mean, this is, you know, you knock them dead, and it's one night people are laughing and screaming. The next night, nothing. Yeah. Same joke, same material.
People say, what's wrong with the jokes?
Nothing.
I went to this comedy club just a few blocks from here, and I saw this comedian. She was great. I wish I remember her name, but she was great. She was so good. I said, I'm going to stay for the second set. And I did. She did the same stuff. And it just died.
It just died. Was it important to know in that little story you just told us that the comedy club was just a couple of blocks away?
No.
It's a couple of blocks away from an undisclosed location.
In fact, it was called the undisclosed laughter or something.
The undisclosed chuckle butt.
The show's motto is digression is...
digression is key.
Is key? Digression is the thing.
Let me go back to the archives and see.
The show is Cthulhu Chronicles, and with us is... what are you doing, Ben, then? Are you writing? You're writing. Don't you write?
I'm writing my manifesto.
You're writing a manifesto, and what are you going to do with this? You're going to send it over to Lulu or something and try to sell it or give it away in a digital for like 23 cents? That's all we can do these days. I know. I do that. I've done it. What are you going to do with a manifesto?
Sell it to someone for their dissertation. Make some money off it.
And what would your manifesto have to do with it? What would make your manifesto appeal to anybody, or what kind of people would find it appealing?
It's basically just all the.
Because someone who's 21, you know, I would imagine. I mean, I think it's almost time for you to write your autobiography, isn't it?
Mostly right now, it's drunk rambling.
Drunk rambling.
Drunk
rambling.
Just like tonight.
We're looking forward to that, aren't we?
Your joke.
Do we have to be drunk to read it, or did you have to be drunk to write it? That's the question.
Your joke that you said was one of the funniest ones you ever heard, the George Carlin joke, which. Is a classic indeed. Reminds me of another joke I remember hearing, which that, you know, it's one of those classics where the mother has to sit down with her daughter and tell her about the birds and the bees conversation. She says, well, you know, when a mommy and daddy, you know, she says, well, where do the kids come from, right? Where do the babies come from? And the mom says, well, when the mommy and daddy love each other very much, a child at the house. And the daughter says, yeah, but who fucks the stork?
You see, now there's jokes like Tom, you know, Tom will tell you this too, in terms of like off color material, back in our, when we were growing up, it was like, you didn't tell those jokes. People your age, forget it, right?
Yeah.
And adults told those jokes to one another on the side. They wouldn't, and there were, like, does anybody know Red Fox? You know Red Fox.
Yeah. I know Red Fox, yeah.
You've seen Sanford and Son?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Sanford and Son theme? Okay, go ahead. Well, Red Fox got his fame from doing filthy jokes, and he had these records. Do you remember, you know what records are? Mm-hmm. He had these records, and they were, could only be bought by adults, and adults would listen to him, you know, and they'd send the kids out of the room and stuff like that. He was the king of dirty jokes. That's how Red Fox got as a stand-up guy. And there was a woman, equal, called, her name was Belle Barth. She was also the dirtiest, filthiest jokes you ever heard. And you could only hear but you couldn't hear them. Now, the kids didn't walk around saying those kind of jokes because they never heard them.
Mm-hmm. What about Mom's Mabley?
Mom's Mabley. Did she do dirty material?
Oh, yeah.
Did she?
Yeah, she did. She didn't, when she like started to make a name for herself and she got on television, then she couldn't.
Right.
You know.
Look at how television is changing. You could watch, I mean, you couldn't say ass, you couldn't say suck, you could, even as verbs and
I remember nothing. I Love Lucy was the first, very first television show to have the couple in the bedroom, because that was off limits.
Just to be in the bedroom. You know, I'll tell you an interesting piece of history, television history.
Yeah.
And that is that Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were allowed to stay in the same bed on their show because they were married. Years later, if you watch the Dick Van Dyke Show, did you ever see the old Dick Van Dyke Show?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They have separate beds because Dick Van Dyke was not really married to Lorraine Pottsville. What was her name?
Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. So they had to have. I told you, like the names come out.
Yeah.
So if you were married, that's censors. If you were married, you could do it in the same bed. You could be in the same. You could do it in the same bed. See, I was doing it again. You had to have separate beds in a sitcom. Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh yeah. What about the censors? If you showed if you showed two people on a bed, each had to have at least 1 foot on the ground. Each had to have 1 foot on the ground, and it had to be their own foot.
I mean, here's a whole nut.
I should have got a that would have been a little annoying.
What?
A rim shot.
Oh, that would have been annoying. What about every time?
forget it. Okay. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I remembered another joke, and before I tell it, it's interesting to bring up that we were talking about doctor jokes earlier, mm-hmm. which is a whole kind of
I think I remember. I was
genre in, back in
I wasn't
the,
bleeding. I wasn't no, bleeding at that.
You
point.
Weren't in the corner, dying slowly. And then another form.
Don't you write, Ben? Do you do? Well, your introductions are going. Tell the joke. You got a joke?
No,
is that what you're saying?
I'm talking about the traveling salesman joke, which is a whole another form of popular back in the day. And I remember one where I hope it doesn't end up like the Jewish joke. Okay. This traveling salesman, he's had a long day, and he can't make it home, so he stops in at this farm, and he asks the farmer if he can spend the night, and the farmer says, well, yeah, but you have to stay in the barn. You'll have to sleep on a thing of hay, and if that's okay, then you're welcome to stay. And he says, well, yeah, that's fine. So he gets comfortable, spends the night. The farmer comes into the barn in the morning and says, how'd you sleep? And he says, great. I had a great night's sleep, and when I woke up, I talked to the animals. And the farmer says, you spoke to the animals? And he's like, yeah. He's like, no, that's impossible. He's like, yeah, I spoke to the animals. I spoke to the chickens. And they told me that every morning at exactly 6 o'clock, you come and collect their eggs. And the farmer says, that's amazing, because that's what I do every morning. And he says, yeah, and I spoke to the cow, and she said that her name's Betsy, and that every morning at 7:22, you milk her. And the farmer says, that's also true. Wow. And he says, yeah, and I spoke I spoke to the pig, and that pig is a liar, said the farmer.
Now, here's the interesting thing about that, because, you know, the traveling salesman jokes were also farmer's daughter jokes. They were into farming. But here's the interesting thing about what you just did in terms of structure. Three. The third one, you always tell two things before you toss the that's because three is the divine number. That's why I'm the third man. See, this has been a theme throughout this show forever. The three is the divine number, and split into threes, everything eventually gets, even the four Marx brothers, they couldn't hold on to the fourth guy. They turned it there, and then three Stooges, it couldn't be the two Stooges, it would just be their names, right? It would be Moe
and
Larry.
There were four Stooges for a while.
There were not at the same time.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Well, briefly. No. But he wasn't the guy who ran them. Okay. But anyway, but that's another thing. That's a joke construction thing. There's the third one.
It's
you could do.
Do you remember?
If you do three, you actually throw the rhythm completely off. If you make the punchline the fourth thing.
Do you remember the joke?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is. See, that's why it's called, we call it divine. That's why plays are in, although many plays aren't, mostly in three acts. And even when they're split up into five acts, you can make them into three acts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we first discussed, you and I got together and we were discussing jokes just amongst the two of us, and we were talking about...
You do Shakespeare now, amongst the two of us? Whilst we were...
That's grammatically incorrect, by the way, Jeremy, because there's only two of you. It would have to be between the two of you.
That's right, yeah! Gracie!
Do you remember the when we were talking about the rule of threes with the jokes, the one that you told?
Which one did I tell?
When the guy was at the cemetery visiting his wives... His dead wives.
No.
And a woman comes up and she says, "Excuse me, if you don't mind me asking, who are you here to visit at the cemetery?" He says, "Well, I'm here to visit my three dead wives." And she says, "Oh, well, if you don't mind me asking, how did they die?" And he says, "Well, the first one died from eating a poisonous sandwich." And she says, "Well, that's terrible. That's such a strange way to die. I'm so sorry." And he's, "How did the second one die?" And he says, "Well, believe it or not, she also died from eating a poisonous sandwich." And she said, Two of your wives died? That is unbelievable. I am so sorry to hear that. How did the third one die?" And she said, "Well, she was hit over the head with a shovel." And she said, "Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry about..." And he said, "Yeah, she won't eat the poisonous sandwich."
I told you that.
Yeah, you did.
Wow. You know what's funny about jokes too? There's never too many of them on it. And there are only really, if you want to really get into it, intellectually look it up, there's only five jokes. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with what Tom was saying, right? Right? Misunderstanding. What was the other one?
Yeah, yeah. The ambiguity, which is the misunderstanding, yeah.
And then you mentioned another one too, Tom. I forgot.
I did.
Cthulhu Chronicles here. This comedy cavalcade is almost curtains. It's almost curtains for this comedy cavalcade of Cthulhu Chronicles. Because we as we come up, but we should do this. We should do this again, Ben. I feel like we haven't given you really enough time here to make us laugh.
Huh.
So what do you got for us here?
I have an off-color joke for you, actually. Yeah. I have a very off-color joke, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, do it.
Did you ever hear the joke about the voodoo dildo? The voodoo dildo. Mm-hmm. So this married couple, husband and wife, man is a traveling salesman, and the wife, stay-at-home mother, has to take care of the kids. She, unfortunately, is a nymphomaniac. So the husband, when he's not doing his traveling salesman business, has to pleasure her almost constantly.
Right.
And one day, the man has to go to California. They live in New Hampshire. And he says, "I don't know how I'm going to be able to please you. I'm going to be gone for weeks. Don't cheat on me here. I can go. I'll go to the store. I'll pick you up a little toy. Don't worry. I'll be back soon." So he goes to the store, and he's the sex shop. And he says, "Well, I need something for my wife. She really likes what we do. Is there anything that'll measure up to my ability?" It's like, "Well, any of these toys up here work?" He says, no. Guy, sex store clerk, says, "Okay, come in the back. I may have something for you." So he takes him into the back. And he has this box that's wrapped up in black, red ribbon. He says, "This is a voodoo dildo. When you give it to your wife, instruct her to say, 'Voodoo dildo,' and then a body part, and it'll go right to it, and it'll do the job, and she'll be done." So he's like, okay. He buys it. The guy's about to walk out, and the clerk says, "Oh, I forgot. You have to tell it banana to turn it off. It's the magic word. It's magic. Who knows?" So he takes it home, and he says, "Okay, here, sweetie, when you want to pleasure yourself, just say 'voodoo dildo,' and then wherever you want it to go, and it'll be done, and I'll be back soon." So he leaves. A couple days go by, and she's horny as hell, and she needs desperately something. So she takes that voodoo dildo. She says, "Voodoo dildo, my vagina." And it's going to town. It's doing what it has to do, and he forgot to tell her the secret word to turn it off. So she's laying in bed, spasming for hours and hours and hours, and she starts freaking out because it's not stopping and she can't stop it. So she wiggles out of bed, goes through living room, out to the car, starts driving along the highway. It's still going town on her. She's swerving all over the place. She can't
drive safely. She's getting lightheaded. And a cop pulls her over. And she's like, sorry, officer, I'm sorry, it's this voodoo dildo, and I can't stop it, it's just going, I can't do it. It says, voodoo dildo my ass.
That's one of those jokes, it's a good joke. But I think it could be edited. I think it goes a long way.
It goes on for hours.
So I'm sorry I didn't give you a lot more time before.
Oh, no worries. Or
that you felt you had to elongate that joke. Now, that's
why. That's why it was long. Show Frank. No, longest joke I got.
No. I'm so glad that is here. There's something about it. He has a divine number. Something about having four of us. Ben, so what are you doing, Ben? I mean, what are you going to do? What do you want to do?
Oh, I'm going to school for film currently.
Oh, okay, so you are right. You're into film. Yeah, okay, so
I love film.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
And so are you writing, trying to write screenplays and things and stuff?
Yeah, I write a lot of screenplays.
You write a lot of screenplays? Yeah,
but... Kind of. I have a lot of short screenplays, but I have a lot of ideas. I write them on little notepads. I kind of do what Woody Allen does when he tries to make a script. He writes them on little slips of paper.
Gets a little idea and puts it away and then eventually tries to make it into a story.
Just tries to piece them together.
You know Woody Allen, then, huh?
I love Woody Allen.
Woody Allen is from our neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, we're all Brooklynites.
Yeah.
Tom and I and him. And
Brooklyn, yeah.
Tom can tell you all the millions of comedy people who came from Brooklyn.
Where were That's you born, right. right?
Where
because
were you,
I...
You know,
I started this idea. It never got off the ground, but like many of my ideas, that a special, of course, today would be. But back when there was television, on network television, I thought it would be cool to have a special called Brooklyn Roads, which would be about all the Brooklyn comedians, which was many.
Yeah, so it would be a comalcade.
It'll be a comalcade of cavities.
That should be a new, be a new flavor at Dairy Queen. The Carmelcade.
So are these funny movies?
Oh, yeah, some of them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to do shorts? You're going to do what? You want to do shorts?
I'd love to do shorts, actually. There are a couple scripts, actually, that I was going to shoot by Jeremy, see if he'd like to film them this upcoming semester.
Ben and I work on stuff together sometimes.
Well, that's really good. That's really good. I think you should. I encourage that. Like you need my encouragement, right?
Thanks, Frank. Now I'll do it. Boy, I was on the fence about it.
Oh my gosh, Collie baby. Here he comes. He's here. You'd have to see if you don't know this. Oh, anyway, it's amazing. Who's with me here as we come to the end of what you got? What do you got?
Okay. Remember when we were working on the documentary? Okay, this is just a funny story.
Okay,
we were working on the documentary, and Frank and I. This Tom, you'll find this particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We're driving, and here in our area, in Hershey, there's a venue, a performance venue called the Giant Center. And so we were on our way to a restaurant to eat. It was me, Frank, and Ray. And this guy was directing traffic because at the Giant Center was some kind of country singer performing.
Yeah,
his name was Jason Aldean or something like that. And so this guy's directing traffic because there was so much traffic. They had to open up this extra parking lot and such. So there was a guy in the street directing traffic, and Frank had this whole joke prepared that he explained to us beforehand. But he pulls up to the we stop at the guy who's directing traffic, and Frank rolls down his window and he says, "What's going on? What's going on? What's this all about?" And the guy said, "Jason Aldean's in concert." And Frank says, "Where?" And the guy says, "At the stadium." And Frank just sped away because Frank was hoping the guy would say, "At the Giant Center," because Frank was going to say, "Well, who's playing at the Miniature Center?"
I see what you, yeah. Another one of those funny things that almost happened. You can't play it.
He said at the stadium, and Frank just speeds away.
That's reversal, right? That's reversal too, right? Isn't that, what is that? That's another comedic thing. Reversal. I don't know about you, but I think I hear the. I think I hear another. Oh, what a comedy cavalcade did we have here? Kept the conclusion. The curtains for the comedy cavalcade. It's the conclusion.
The comedy cavalcade is coming to a conclusion.
Cameras off.
Sayonara to the comedy cavalcade.
Concubines created on today's comedy cavalcade. Hey, Tom. Hang in there. We'll talk for a second if you got it.
I don't know either.
Well, thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Will you come back again?
Thank you so much. Oh, yeah, I'll be back.
Okay, Ben will come back, and Jerry, you know you'll come back.
I'm not coming back.
He's not coming back ever again. Tom, thank you. Tom?
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.
It's his ears. We'll be back again next week. I think it's Steve Ulcher next week, isn't it?
Is it?
What is your what? What the hell is my? What the hell is my?
Anyway, where is my where?
Where is my where? And why? Our Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I will be back and bleeding again next week. Right here,
Cotullo. I sure hope so.
Take my wife, please.
Tell your father I said hi.
Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you are. Why are we leaving now? Because.
We have nothing more to say!